and I must say that it's nice to be home for the Christmas season. By home, I mean this late Saturday segment of Monitor 65, because I've been spending the past 5 or 6 weeks in the two earlier Saturday portions of our weekend show. It's nice to be surrounded by the old familiar faces, some of our familiar voices, too. There's somebody here at my side who looks suspiciously like Mel Allen. Anybody ever tell you you look like Mel Allen?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is Mel Allen.
This is Mel Allen sitting here.
Now?
Yeah, no, not yet. When I say now, Mel, a little bit later, we'll hear from Mel Allen.
Thanks, Dean.
We'll also hear from Selma Diamond a little later, also, and to get us off
thanks,
on a seasonal...
Dean.
Test. You want to test it once again there, Ace?
I was trying to do Selma.
Give it another try, Mel.
Thanks. Hello. Thanks, Gene. Hello there, Mel. How are you?
Fine. You're a spark big like a diamond.
Now, here's an unusual new carol called African Noel, sung by the town choir.
Sing me, O Noel!
This Noel, as every Noel, every woman alive, wants Chanel number 5. Now at the Monitor Sports Desk, with a comprehensive roundup, it's Mel Allen.
Thanks, Gene, and topping the sports scene, the University of Oklahoma has gone after Texas football coach Darryl Royal. It's reported they're ready to offer him a contract that, with fringe benefits, could bring him upwards of $50,000 a year. Royal, an alumnus of Oklahoma, where he played quarterback and halfback, spoke with Sooner officials this morning, says he's interested. The vacancy at Oklahoma opened earlier this week after Gomer Jones resigned following a poor season. Meanwhile, Iowa tapped Ray Nagel as its coach. He's been at Utah the past 8 years, will replace Jerry Burns, who departed shortly before the season ended. Iowa won only one game this past season. College bowl season got underway today. Orlando, Florida, the Tangerine Bowl, won by East Carolina over Maine, 31-0. At Augusta, Georgia, the NAIA Championship Bowl saw St. John's of Minnesota crush Linfield College of Oregon, 33-0. Murfreesboro, Tennessee, in the Grantland Rice Bowl, Tennessee State and Ball State battled to a 14-14 deadlock. At Abilene, Texas, in the Pecan Bowl, North Dakota State defeated Grambling College, 20-7. Now, in the National Football League, Dallas beat St. Louis 27-13. The Cowboys need only to defeat the New York Giants on the road next week to assure themselves of a berth in the playoff bowl for teams that finish second in the league's two divisions. Track. Jürgen May of East Germany ran the second fastest mile of all time today in New Zealand, 3:53.8. Kipchoge Keno of Kenya was second, 3:54.9 was his time. Tennis. Arthur Ashe of the United States beat Wimbledon champion Roy Emerson 7-9, 7-5, 6-love, 6-4 for the South Australian lawn tennis title. The women's crown went to America's Nancy Ritchie. Disciplined, Texas A&M by the Southwest Conference for too many spring football practice sessions and for withdrawal of scholarships from athletes unable to compete. The penalty, indefinite probation. Result in the National Hockey League, Detroit 4, New York 2. Still leaves new Ranger coach Emil the Cat. College basketball results. Purdue beat Butler 84-77. Princeton took Navy 72-54. Drexel turned back Uppsala 72-67. Illinois whipped West Virginia 96-86. Utica bombed Brooklyn Poly 85-65. It was LIU 82, Farley Dickinson 63, and Haverford tripped Penn Military College 58-48. Names in the sports news. Rick Norton, Kentucky quarterback, number one draft pick of Miami of the American Football League, signed to a contract that will give him $300,000 in the next 4 years. Charlie McClendon, LSU football coach, given a one-year extension on his contract. It now runs through 1971. J.T. King, Texas Tech football coach, given a new five-year contract and pay raise. Gabe Brewer and Butch Baird, winners of the $125,000 PGA National Four-Ball Golf Championship, score 259, 29 under par. Second, three strokes back, the Hebert brothers, Jay and Lionel. Brave Lad, home first in the display handicap at Aqueduct, closing day feature of the New York racing season, trailing at the wire choker, followed by Kentucky Pioneer. Waldemar Bazanowski, Polish weightlifter, established a world lightweight snatch record of 295 pounds. Branch Rickey, baseball owner and innovator who died Thursday, will be buried next Tuesday near Portsmouth, Ohio. Mike Garrett, USC halfback, named College Football Player of the Year by UPI. Emil Griffith, welterweight champion who defended his title last night, wants to meet middleweight champ Dick Tiger next. Ara Parseja, Notre Dame football coach, denies rumors that he's headed to Miami as coach of the American Football League's new franchise. For more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor.
Okay, Mello, I thank you. Very young, and one has my name.
One has my name. The other has my heart. With one, I'll remain.
Gargiola there. Did you see Joe and Audrey and the three kids there? They're coming in to see the NBC Christmas tree. Well, sir, what's in a name? As Shakespeare put it, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, and as we put it, Selma Diamond by any other name would sound as funny as she will. When we hear 1 minute from now in the Monitor Beacon. Gene Rayburn here with more of Monitor, and if you've been out shopping for Christmas presents today, what you undoubtedly need now is something to lift your spirits, and Selma Diamond should be able to deliver a few choice words of a seasonal nature.
This time of the year, I start browsing around in toy departments for gifts for kids. So the other day, I see something called the Head Shrinker's Kit. So I start examining it, and you know, in the Head Shrinker's Kit, I expected to find a couch, maybe a box of Kleenex, assorted neuroses, and a few tranquilizers. But this was really a head shrinking kit to make heads and to shrink them. Now, I remember when I was a small girl, they used to be sewing kits. And when you used up the stuff that came in the sewing kit, you could always go to your mother and she'd give you some spare cloth and thread so that you could continue your activity. Now, what happens when a kid uses up the stuff in this head-shrinking kit? Where's your mother going to find a spare head? Because let's face it, there are very few two-headed mothers. And if this head-shrinking kit really became popular, there are going to be even less one-headed mothers. And some of the other games being advertised make the commercials for them seem like army training films. There's also a game on the market called Time Bomb. Now, if your kid is the only one on the block with this Time Bomb, he can be the first kid in the neighborhood to rule the world. But if all the other kids in the neighborhood get it, that hot line between us and the Russians won't be enough. For full security, it'll have to be between us, the Russians, and the Little Leaguers. Then I came across a kit that is a must for our little head shrinkers and time bomb enthusiasts. This is a space program kit with instructions for them to build their own missile and get to the moon. Now, you know what's so great about getting them to the moon? There isn't one word of instruction on how they'll get back.
Now, don't get Selma Diamond wrong. She loves children. She just doesn't happen to like some of the toys they're playing with these days. When it comes to grown-up type gifts in the feminine category, there's no problem at all. Just remember, this Christmas is every Christmas. Every woman alive wants Chanel No. 5. Now, 150 moments of music as Frank Sinatra sings Mancini and Mercer's latest Moment to Moment.
From moment to moment, every moment that I live for every moment with you. To see you, to touch you, to imagine this will be just an ordinary day becomes adventure, such sweet adventure. That love can do.
run into that situation where you wind up saying, the face is familiar, but I can't place the name? Well, it could happen to you if you were to run into Monitor's next guest on the street or at a party or anywhere. So I'll tell you his name, Paul Dooley. And for the reasons why this is not immediately as recognizable as, say, Bob Hope or Perry Como, we'll hear from Monitor reporter Lee Leonard.
Paul, I would imagine it would be fair to say that your face is far more familiar than the name Paul Dooley, having done over 100 commercials for television, which is an awful lot of commercials. Do people, when they pass you in the street, ever do a take? You know, they say, gee, I know who you are, but who are you?
That's right. A guy passed me the other day, and in a current commercial, which shall be nameless, play a character named Harvey, passed me on the street, and he says, wait a minute, I know you. And since the name I'd been getting most lately was Harvey, I said, Harvey. He said, no, Paul Dooley. I knew you from New England. We were in Cape Cod together.
That's a switch, then. Some people do know your name. So I think a lot of people perhaps have the wrong idea about the production of a commercial. First of all, for a one-minute commercial, on the average, and you've done enough of them so that you can perhaps give us an average, how long does it take? How much work is involved for you, number one, and then for the entire group altogether?
Well, I can speak better for myself than I can for what happens once I'm not involved, but it's easily an eight-hour day for any single one-minute commercial.
To go back a little bit from what you're doing now, I noticed in your biography that you were a hat check boy once, and you watched some of the top-name comedians. Who did you watch, and what perhaps did you learn that you yourself have used?
My first job in New York was working for a concessionaire, checking hats and coats. And he had all of the big nightclubs, the Latin Quarter, the Copacabana, every place. I watched Durante, who played the Copa in those days. And I watched many young ones, Jack Carter, Milton Berle. Oddly enough, the fellows I watched, although I learned from them, because you learn about timing, you learn about handling of audiences, really all worked in a somewhat different vein than I did.
Very diverse styles, even from each other.
Yeah, but generally in what is kind of called a commercial kind of style, in other words, a very wide appeal, appealing to almost everybody, whereas mine is much more, my taste lies much more in what you might call a new school. It would be typified by Newhart and Berman and Mort Saul and Lenny Bruce and the things that have happened in the last 5 years, in the last 10 years.
Paul, you were working in New York in a play on Broadway. You took Art Carney's place. I imagine that's quite an exciting thing for an actor. But how did you feel the first night that you had to go in and play one of the two leading roles in the show? Well, was there an extra nervousness?
Certainly there's a kind of a electric feeling. By the time I went on for the first time, I'd been connected with the play, out-of-town rehearsals, in-town rehearsals, perhaps 6 months, and I must have heard the lines, you know, drumming in my ears, the lines I'm supposed to be doing of the other part, you know, who knows, 700 or 800 times, plus studying them and having my own rehearsals, the understudy rehearsals. So you're kind of jaded. You figure, you know, it'll be a breeze. You can walk through it because you know it backwards. It's so familiar to you. But what happens is you go on, and like, even though you've rehearsed it a lot and heard it a lot, now you're there, and it's different, you know, like 1,000 people out there watching. It's very exciting, but one of the most exciting things about it is that plays and any entertainment that goes on for a long time settles down into a kind of a comfortable way of playing. You know what the other actor's going to do because you've done it a lot of times. A new person comes in, and because you can't quite be sure exactly what he'll do, all the other actors are sort of like acting on their tiptoes. In other words, all the nerve ends are open, and they're very alive and very real and responsive, and you give them something new that another actor might not have just because you're two separate human beings.
I guess
you immediately react to it. It's almost like for the first time the play is happening.
You've been on the outside looking in, and now you're on the inside looking out, and I guess it is a different feeling. And do the lines sound different or mean different things to you when you are doing them, even though you knew the plot of the play and the character motivation?
They mean something slightly different.
Yeah.
There's a overall grand design, naturally, which makes it come out meaning the same thing, but you're... Any two human beings, no matter how much they would try, would approach a role differently because of just who they are, how they walk, talk, sit, and stand, breathe, you know. And but it's very alive, and a few times while I was playing, the part that I took over in, somebody played my part, and somebody else missed, and it's a brand new thing, like it's happening tonight for the first time, because it's the first time anybody's ever said to me, as Felix, you know, where are you going, and hold him, don't let him get away, and any of the exciting parts become very real because I never did it before with this particular actor. It's like a first night in a way, like an opening night.
We've been talking with Paul Dooley, a versatile performer in the worlds of television, Broadway, nightclubs, and record albums, and a young talent on the way up. This is Lee Leonard, reporting for Monitor.
San Remo Golden Strings, hungry for love. Now, a quick quiz for car owners. Do you know who pays for car theft? You do, even if your car hasn't been stolen. According to the National Automobile Dealers Association, the public loses over $100 million a year, and although it's true that insurance covers most of the theft losses, insurance rates increase for all cars. You can help keep these increases down by helping to reduce car thefts. Every time you leave your car, lock it. Gene Rayburn here, latest NBC Monitor News at the top of the hour.
This is NBC.
Hi, this is Lee Leonard inviting you to be with me every weekday afternoon from 2 till 5 on WNBC's 660 Radio. Our telephone number, +7 8866. And unless we hear from you, we don't have much of a show. We'll talk about a lot of things as the days and weeks go by, and I hope that I'll be talking to you.
Celebrate Israel's growth as a land of freedom by attending the Hanukkah Festival for Israel at Madison Square Garden, Monday, December 20th or January 3rd. You can get free tickets by buying Israel Bonds. For prospectus and Israel Bonds, call Oregon 79650. Oregon 79650. Children explore the world of imagination Sunday mornings on Carnival of Books. Each week, Ruth Harshaw and a panel of children discuss a favorite children's book with the author. Young minds enjoy and learn from a wealth of literature written for them. Hear Carnival of Books, Sundays at 7:45 a.m. on WNBC Radio. Talk to Brad Crandall, weekday evenings on The Conversation Station. WNBC, AM and FM, New York. It's 8 o'clock.